It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is home to a lot of public art. When you're out and about in communities around the state, you might see sculptures and murals, statues, or seasonal displays.
Now, a fiber art installation in Fitchburg has taken public art in a new direction. The project leaders invited members of the community to participate in making a huge display of oversized flowers crocheted onto a chain link fence at McKee Farms Park.
It's called Wildflowers of Wisconsin, and it's meant to be a colorful reminder of how we can better take care of the environment around us. It's up now through August of 2025.
Jillian Talarchik is the founder and creative director of the Madison Public Art Project, and Kirsten Darling is a fiber artist based in Milwaukee, where she runs a finishing service called Weave In My Ends. She identifies as neurodivergent and a spoonie, or a person with a chronic illness. She was the lead designer for Wildflowers of Wisconsin. Kirsten, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
And Jillian, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be here.
Well, before we dig into the Wildflowers of Wisconsin in particular, the Madison Public Art Project, you founded it, I understand, back in 2020. What was the inspiration behind this?
Yeah, always a great time to launch a new venture right in the middle of a global pandemic. We launched, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and we present innovative contemporary art projects to the public in the public realm. So we were looking to just see what else we could do to elevate the arts landscape. We have exciting free public art exhibitions. They always strengthen and educate communities. They also support social justice and foster local arts and culture. So it's really, it's an exciting venture. We've been showcasing both emerging and established artists. They definitely are inspiring installations. They inspire civic participation and definitely encourage artistic imagination.
And Jillian, let's talk about Wildflowers of Wisconsin. We'll talk to one of the artists in just a moment, but what was the inspiration? What was the initial call? What were you hoping to accomplish here?
The Wildflowers of Wisconsin really is about raising awareness about the realities of climate change and encouraging greater stewardship of the land for generations to come. So the mural encourages individuals to think about their own sort of consumption habits, right? And we're hoping that that leads and inspires personal action. So that could be anything from reducing or obviously reusing, recycling, but we talked a lot about upcycling. We did a lot of foraging events over the past year together with the community, and now we're bringing in composting experts to speak at our artist talks, as well as looking at promoting pollinator-friendly gardening spaces. So it's really, that's the mission. And it's been so beautiful and so dynamic, all the people that came together and this installation that we were able to achieve.
And Kirsten, you were brought in to design Wildflowers of Wisconsin. And the first thing that leaps out of me is the size, the scale. I think of fiber arts, crochet and other things, maybe a big blanket size. Well, this is bigger than a big blanket. How did you approach this project?
Well, we had it broken up into individual sections, and so we started off by designing each of the small flowers. We've got a black-eyed Susan, a blue violet, a swamp milkweed, and a butterfly milkweed. And so each of those flowers, I looked at how I could construct a flower out of crochet and have it be structurally sound to be able to install on a fence and be there for a year, you know, through Wisconsin weather and especially Wisconsin winters. But then also wanted to make sure that the community, when they came together to crochet the flowers with us, that they were able to read the patterns as well. So making sure that these flowers were beginner friendly. And then once we got all of the flowers done that the community was going to help us make, I had to tackle the big centerpiece, the bright pink echinacea. And that one was all freehand. It's actually holding four strands of yarn together with a crochet hook that's like bigger than your thumb.
Wow.
And it ended up being, I think, over 10 feet wide. You know, I gained some muscle strength making that one, but that one was all freehanded, just kind of changing colors as I felt like I needed to get the shading and the highlights and everything correct.
And Kirsten, you mentioned one thing that leapt out at me right away. This is up for quite a while, including through the winter. What did you have to do when it came to materials and design to say, okay, yes, this thing is going to survive the Wisconsin winter weather?
Well, we chose to use acrylic yarn because it won't fade, or it won't fade nearly as much with all of the sun. And the, you know, the yarn will dry out every time it rains or snows. It'll eventually evaporate, or the water will evaporate. But the big thing was making sure that the way everything was designed, we could easily secure it to the fence. And then we spent, I think, 2.5 days actually securing it to the fence and going over and over and over again to make sure that every little spot that we could was held down so that it doesn't get saggy or it doesn't come apart or anything like that.
Jillian, a big part of this isn't just, hey, we've decided we're going to put art up, we're going to drop the art, the public can come and look at it if they want. You really focus on the community engagement part of this work. You were starting to touch on some of the talks and things like that. What are some of the other important community elements involved in this Wildflowers of Wisconsin project?
Yeah, we, Kirsten and I had a lot of artist meetings about how to design the work with the goal of inclusivity. So we knew that we wanted to welcome the community into the art making process with this project. It's sort of like demystifying it in a way, which was, you know, they don't often have the chance to do that and to be part of such a beautiful work. So that was really a huge goal. That means the crochet patterns were available. They were available at no cost, thanks to our sponsors. All the supplies and the materials were provided. They could download them or they could come in person. So every month, sometimes twice a month, we met in what I called our free monthly community crochet day workshops. So these were facilitated by our teaching artist, Safira Afifi, and assisted by Karen Jans. They really led this artist-led environment. And that was the initiative, that was the goal. And it was incredible. It was just so amazing to see what a hunger there really was and how many people leapt at the opportunity to participate in something so beautiful. And they came and they learned how to crochet all these different flower petals that Kirsten had designed, that we had talked about how to do this. And then in Kirsten's final vision, all these flower petals were then incorporated into the final mural design.
We're talking about a new fiber art installation in Fitchburg. It's called Wildflowers of Wisconsin. Jillian Talarczyk is with us with the Madison Public Art Project. Kirsten Darling, fiber artist and lead designer for Wildflowers of Wisconsin. Kirsten, you identify as neurodivergent and a spoonie, as someone with a chronic illness. And I've seen you talk elsewhere about how important knitting and crocheting and fiber arts in general have been for you. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I was diagnosed, or not diagnosed quite yet, but I came down with a mystery headache in 2015 that never went away. And then over the years, I've actually collected quite a few different chronic illnesses. And it's left me unable to work and living with chronic constant pain. And I found very quickly that I could still knit and crochet while in a lot of pain, and actually kind of helps not notice the pain there. And so knitting and crochet has really been a savior to my everyday life, and just being able to manage being a spoonie. And then I actually, through the magic of the internet, have found a community on Instagram of a lot of other individuals that have chronic illnesses and identify as spoonies, that are also fiber artists. And it's been really great to be able to have several different ways to connect with people and to find, you know, somebody else that has some super rare illness that, like, you wouldn't necessarily meet anywhere else. And just to have that community with them has been, you know, something that's really helped with my mental health and with my physical health.
And Jillian, with your public artwork, I understand you have a goal of supporting underrepresented artists in recruiting them to do art and paying them to do art. How have you woven, if I could say that, that commitment into your work with the Madison Public Art Project?
Yes, that's a huge component of what we're up to. And we really look to highlight these underrepresented voices and give them a chance to shine. So in every art call that we publish, we're looking to amplify diverse voices in the artistic community. Wisconsin has an incredible community of artists. And so we're really looking to give everyone a chance.
Kirsten, I want to talk about fiber arts in general. I think sometimes we think of sewing and crocheting as knitting as craft, right? And we get something that might be cool looking and practical, and that's great. It's also an art, clearly, and in a work like Wildflowers of Wisconsin, you are, you know, you have an artistic message about our relationship with the natural world in Wisconsin. Can you talk about fiber arts as art?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I think definitely fiber arts in general kind of gets this rap as, you know, like your grandma's craft. And the debate between craft versus art has always been kind of at the forefront of fiber arts. But there's so many things that you can do with fiber. And the it's kind of every single different aspect of it is like a whole rabbit hole that you can go down where you can control all of the aspects that go into it. I actually also, I've picked up spinning my own yarn over the past year.
Oh, wow.
So you get to play with color and the actual fibers that go into it. And the amount of time that you need to invest to learn any one of the crafts, you know, whether it's crochet or knitting or spinning or sewing, is such an investment in your time that it really is, in my opinion, an art form, much more than it is just maybe a craft that we think about that, you know, we've seen people doing in public or our grandmas did when we were kids. And I think that, you know, when we talk about art, we need to include the fiber arts in it because there's just so many different things that you can do with it and different messages that you can really spread, whether that's, you know, with yarn bombing or with, you know, making your own garments, which is something I've gotten into recently to kind of make a comment about fast fashion and how disposable fabrics kind of are ruining our environment. And instead choosing to invest the 20 to 50 hours it could take to knit one sweater is a huge statement against the culture of consumption. And it really is an art to be able to make something that fits you and to have that finished project at the end.
I want to end with a little inspiration from both of you. First of all, Jillian, there's a lot of communities with some good public art around Wisconsin. If somebody's listening thinking, gosh, I wish we had more of that, what would you suggest to them to start connecting with other people and trying to make public art happen in their community?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's something I say a lot, but life reflects art and art reflects life. And I think the beauty of public art to me is that it sort of pushes the limit of what's possible and it can inspire a fresh viewpoint. So really, that's what we're up to. Our projects are looking to a better future, and it's sort of like this constant exploration and living archive of our society. So I would say definitely get involved. And if you want to see what we're up to, look to our website and see what you can join, whether it's an upcoming workshop or an artist talk, or if there's other ways you want to get involved with us or in your own community.
And Kirsten, can you give some encouragement to check out various kind of fiber arts, even for people who didn't think of it or think, hey, I'm just a radio host, I'm way too clumsy to do something like that?
Yeah, there's art all over, you know, kind of if you aren't looking for it, sometimes you might miss it. But a really great place to see the kind of things that you can do with specifically with fiber arts is on Instagram. You know, or TikTok or any of the social media, people are constantly posting the things that they're making, literally anything that you could imagine is being made with yarn at this point.
We'll leave it there. Kirsten, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Jillian, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
That's Jillian Talarczyk, founder and creative director of the Madison Public Art Project, and Kirsten Darling, a fiber artist based in Milwaukee, where she runs a finishing service called Weave In My Ends. We've been talking about a new public fiber art project, Wildflowers of Wisconsin. It's on display at McKee Farms Park in Fitchburg through August of 2025.